welcome to episode 107 of Floating Through Film. It is your host, Luke, and today we are revisiting to a series we've done a few times during our various breaks from our main series, where one of us will pick a movie that the other two haven't seen for us to review. So for today, I picked two of my favorite movies, History's Made at Night, directed by Frank Borzage, and Hatari, directed by Howard Hawks. So before we get into it, let me introduce my co-host Blake.
What's up?
And Danny.
Hello.
I deliberately chose, I feel like my role here on the podcast is like, okay guys, look at Hollywood for a second. There's some good stuff here. I'm trying, you know. These guys make fun of me for it, but you know, I'm gonna keep trying. These two are very interesting in my opinion, even if maybe you guys don't love them as much as me. I think they're interesting to talk about for various different reasons. So to start off, we'll go with History's Made at Night, which is actually a recent discovery of mine. It's typically Frank Borzage was, who he's actually not as well known as a lot of like old Hollywood directors. You know, you kind of have like that canon, you know, like Hawks, Ford, Stanley Donen, and Michael Curtis, like all those like AFI top 100. Pound Press Burgers UK.
UK, yeah.
It's like it's weird.
They made Hollywood movies though, didn't they? No.
I don't know if you can. I honestly don't know.
Okay.
I know. It was mainly UK though. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I'm trying to think of some of those other American directors.
Like, Frank Capra.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like
that kind of vein.
Yeah. Like there's very much like a esteem, like not or just like very popular, like the popular kind of like entryways into Hollywood, which you don't realize how
like
deep
studio
it is.
Auteurs when people.
Yeah. 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 But, like, it goes a lot deeper than, like, the surface level, as I've kind of discovered recently. And Frank Borzage is, because, honestly, like, what I find interesting about Borzage, which is very evident, which I had a very hard time picking between this and I've Always Loved You for this podcast. But what is interesting about Frank Borzage is he's very much a romantic, and he's kind of, like, the least cynical romantic, if you think about it, like. I think I heard someone say on their box he believes love is like a religion. he treats it like it is, which is not to say he's like that's not to say he's like he doesn't think there's hardships or anything, like but he thinks like the hardships for love are very much worth it, which I think is like a lot of what this movie's about, and like especially the ending, which is very, you know, like definitely could see people hating the ending, but I'll get to why I think it's very effective for me.
How is that different than a typical Hollywood storyline, though? That's
typical
what I'm
Hollywood
wondering. Because you said he's a little different. Maybe yeah. The way he does it, you could say.
Yeah, I think so. It's,
to me,
it's
that's
tough.
That
it's
is like, basically the Hollywood narrative of love is worth it. Even with that's literally the Hollywood movie.
Yes,
in most cases.
But like, I mean, kind of. But like, I don't know. Borzage, there's something about him that like he almost has that Lubitsch effect. Like, I mean, him and Lubitsch are like close collaborators. Like,
okay.
I'm gonna talk about some similarities between this and.
I can see that they're like. Their set's a little more simple compared to when I think of some of the more other like directors you mentioned.
Yes,
where they're a little more grand.
Yes,
that's true.
And he has like certain decisions that he makes that are, like to me set it apart, which I'll talk about. Like
this one's love is worth it, but it's with the person. She's like not even not with her husband, basically.
Yeah, it's
love is worth it with the person that you're actually in love with, not the person that you're with right now, basically. But
in a way, yeah,
yeah.
Honestly.
That makes it different. Because she is an adulteress in this movie,
yeah,
in air quotes. But
there's a lot to it. I mean, I'm still learning a lot about Borzage too. So, but we'll talk about it more when we get into
feature
it.
Pick.
Maybe I don't know. There's a lot.
No, he's not that level for you.
Yeah. I'm giving some time.
You haven't watched him enough. Yourself.
Yeah.
I'm glad you picked him because like this is not a movie.
You would ever watch. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's honestly why, because like especially like the cover and like the header on Letterboxd, it's like you're gonna think this isn't like Frank Capra, or I don't want this Frank Capra, like Michael Curtis, like AFI top 100, like regular, like just like kind of safe. Okay, that's a big thing also about this movie. It does not play safe at all. It's like one of the most unhinged Hollywood movies I've ever seen.
Oh, okay.
Like literally five different movies, or like
it does go a lot of different directions.
Because I mentioned this movie in Bull in the Head, like in the Bull in the Head episode. Where I was like, because I literally just watched that movie the same week we did it, and we talked about how like Bull in the Head kind of had those like tonal shifts.
Oh yeah.
And this one, it's like It's like honestly, like it's so insane.
This one definitely has some weird. It's crazy. It starts off, and I'm thinking, oh, this is gonna be like an interesting noir. We're gonna be watching noir, like ridiculous romance. And
oh my god, okay.
That's true.
And then it just goes to like this caper with Caesar and him, starting up a restaurant, like the best part of the entire fucking movie.
And then we're gonna get to a nautical disaster. It's amazing, it somehow works. It's honestly, I still really don't fully understand why I think it works so well. It just does. But maybe I'll discover it when we're talking about it. So
is there anything specific about this? Is there something specific about this that made you pick it? What was the other movie you're?
I've Always Loved You. It was very much a toss up. Frank Borzage as well. Okay. That one's a bit. This one's much more. I would say a bit lighter in tone than I've Always Loved You. I'm gonna pick at some point. I'm gonna find a way to fit in at some point. It's like it was very much like. Both these movies are amazing to me. Like I don't know. It's just like, honestly, this one's just gonna be so much fun. I have fun. Like I think it'll be a lot of fun to talk about it. Like a lot of certain moments. But
it's kind of got both. It's got like that kind of fun quality, but also it's like very tragic moments.
Dude, yes. And honestly, like very honestly, similar to Lubitsch. Honestly, like Lubitsch fills that void for me as well. And this and Angel came out in the same year, and also. Lubitsch produced one of Borzage's films called Desire, which I really want to watch. And there's some similarities between the two films.
Yeah, I can see that.
But before we get into it, let me ask y'all your thoughts. Blake?
No, I really liked it. It took me a second to get into it because, like I said, the tone... Like, it does shift very quickly from what I was expecting it to be into something I wasn't expecting at all with, like, this just weird romance. And then just does it again with, like, she, like, disappears for, like... Yeah. It feels like 30 minutes of the movie. But I honestly really enjoyed it. Like...
Yeah.
I don't know who the main actor is or who the main actors are in this, but they,
you don't? Wait, no. Oh, that's crazy. He's obviously not a Hollywood noter.
No,
obviously.
I'm not.
Like,
I'm
not. Like okay. Okay, the guy actually, but Danny knows the main guy from Letter from No. Ophuls, Bande, which one was. Yeah. He plays the husband in that. He's great in that.
But yeah, that's only the one I've seen him in.
Okay, yeah, that's the actress.
Jean Arthur.
She's like
very
famous.
I don't recognize her. Okay, I know the name.
You should watch Only Angels Have Wings, especially if you like Tatari, because she's amazing in that.
Did I like Tatari? We'll find out.
We'll find out.
No, I'm just kidding.
You better. It's amazing. Okay.
But I mean, like, the main guy, whatever his name is, I forgot already, but he's amazing. And then, honestly, the character actress might be my favorite part of the movie. Like, not even just Cesar. Like, he might be my favorite part. Like, Cesar is just the greatest person alive.
Dude, I'm so mad. I watched the movie a couple months after our supporting characters draft. I was so bad. I was like, what if that? Why did I do this earlier?
He's always in a different movie, honestly.
Oh, my God. That's why.
Are certain things you're like, wait, is this his movie?
Honestly, it's like, I'm going to talk about that because that's honestly a thing about this movie. It's like, we're almost wandering into different movies in a way. It's like, that's part of what I think makes this film really unique. But.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, even the jealous husband, like, he's even, like, just this great, like, character. Like,
yeah, like, very much, like, he's really just, like, he's really just playing kind of, like, the straight villain in a way, but, like...
The straight villain that has a heart at the very end still, somehow, but...
Well, see, that's the worst part of the movie.
The ending? The ending? Okay, interesting.
It kind of ruined, like, not ruins the movie, because the movie's still good, and we're obviously going to talk about a lot of good moments, but, like... See, I don't think Lubitsch would have a moment like this.
No, I could see, like, there's definitely difference
dude,
between the two.
The ending was real, because I was going back, and honestly, like the movie, I was going back and forth in it, maybe because of the tonal shifts, I don't know.
Okay.
But I was liking it. And then the ending happens with the husband going to, basically, he's like, I'm going to kill them, like, by causing this ship to crash, which is kind of crazy, honestly. But I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
But then and so I thought, like, and then her deciding to, like, stay on the boat instead of, like, taking that, like, last lifeboat. And, like,
it's like, kill them!
I thought that's how honestly it should have ended, though.
Yeah, but Borzage, thing is, though,
because it, like, makes no, and then, he commits suicide, they're like, oh, actually, we're gonna survive.
the boat is safe,
like,
everyone.
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess, classic movie film, beginning and ending now.
But it takes away all that tension of, like, damn, that actually is, like, a... Because, like, that idea of her choosing true love, which is dying on that ship rather than going back to her husband, you know, and staying alive, is, like, honestly, a big decision. That would actually make it, like, that's actually a tough choice, like you're saying, honestly.
Yeah, but the thing is that,
But then, like, just writing in actually he kills himself, and then there's the ship's flying right after. Just so, like, everyone can be happy, and then you can still have that moment. It's, like, really my least favorite thing in a lot of Hollywood.
Okay, no. I mean, like, the thing is, if I've totally give someone doesn't like the ending, it's very much a swing for the fences, I feel like, kind of, like...
Well, it... Joy. I like the ending until it, like, actually goes for the normal Hollywood ending right after it.
Like, what's the... What do you say?
Like, if they would have died... Like, her choice to lead to them dying...
No, but, like...
Honestly, it would have been, like, a tragic ending.
So, like, how I kind of see is, like, Borzage has this belief in love that, like, basically, like... He thinks, like... he believes in love so strong that, like, it... I don't know if it's going to sound corny, but, like, it defies all, like... Like, all logic, basically. All, well, like, I laws agree. Of nature, in a way. And I feel like that this is his way of depicting that, basically.
And so her choosing to stay on the boat, right?
Yes.
Even though she's gonna die.
But in
that,
a way...
That, to me, is, like, that would be the choice of illogical love, you know?
Yes.
And it would be, like, okay, like, this husband, like... Yeah, he thought he was killing them, but, like, she kind of chose anyway, you know? But then it's like, actually, never mind. He's going to just kill him. Like, like, a villain just killing himself, like, at the end, and then the people surviving anyway. It's like a... It's just too... No, it's just too good.
I don't know. There's something... I don't know. It's to me, it's just, like... It, especially, like, when they're, like, the reactions out of the actors, once they realize that, like, the guy who, like, screaming, I'm gonna... I mean, like, the way Borzage immediately cuts to all the faces, too. There's something about that moment that, like, I don't know, it affects me in a different way than, like, I guess your typical Hollywood, like, happy ending. Especially with the whole scale of it, too. I don't know. There's something in play there that I feel like works really well for me, but
it just feels too forced, like it has to have the happy ending kind of thing, you know?
Okay, I mean, I can see that,
but I do like, we're gonna get into it, but I do like it overall. Okay. Outside of that,
okay.
Like it just, but like to me, it does kind of like define the whole movie in some ways, because
it starts off as illogical love, so.
Yes, yeah. Honestly, the whole movie's kind of like that.
It's about that, for sure.
Well, to me, it's partly about that, but it's also partly about, like... This is, to me, where Lubitsch would have been more on this side I'm about to say, is... Love can... Like, love is maybe true love about choosing this new person that actually you might be in love with, but it also might be more about just escaping the person you're with.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And Lubitsch might be a little more cynical and more honest about that. Or, to me, anyways, honest. But, like... It. Yeah, like, partly about falling in love with this new guy you just met... It's because you hate your old situation so much.
Yes.
You know, like, that's it. And he kind of shows that with the opening scenes where, like, they literally just had to get a divorce, and then, like, right after is when they meet.
Yeah.
But, like, Lubitsch would make that connection a little different, you know? Where it'd be, like, you're saying, like, Borzage actually believes they're in love, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, other directors might, like, Ofo's another one, because you just mentioned him, where it might be, like...
Yeah.
It's kind of like people just trying to get out of their situation.
I guess, I just really like kind of like the role Borzage fills in like that kind of scheme, like in the more like optimistic, least cynical way, like less cynical way. I think he fills a very nice niche in that kind of like
spectrum. But to me, that's most Hollywood though. That's where I'm like, how is that different?
Well,
the most Hollywood is more optimistic, I would say.
But like, I don't know. Borzage has this, in a way, he might be even. It's tough to say because he might be even more.
He maybe is more logical about it.
Yeah, maybe more logical. That's the best word.
That's what you like about it.
I
need to watch some of his other.
Yeah,
movies,
I would need to. I need to watch more. But yeah.
Plus, you know me. I'm always watching Hollywood with the critical eyes.
So. This dude's like arms crossed. I'm joking.
No, I mean, that would be impossible to do with Atari.
Oh, dude, it's
for
like,
me anyway. Just the
like,
animals alone.
Just the animals, dude. Okay, we'll get to it. But yeah, I guess we can go ahead and get into it. I would say just like this kind of first setup is basically setting up what we're kind of getting into with this, like, basically this has this husband that's like, he's the rich, he's like a ship company owner,
shipping magnate,
right?
Or something, I think they said.
Yeah.
He's just a rich,
very rich guy that has a lot of power, basically.
Well, he has control of ships, obviously.
He owns the Titanic.
Yeah, and I love how, like, immediately cuts to him, like, he's, like, getting praise, and he walks back to his room and gets the letter immediately.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's just, like, no prior thing before that. It's just, like, immediate.
Yeah.
But as you said before, we get into the fucking noir part of the movie, really. Like, fucking, this dude,
I was in for, like, I was expecting a different movie whenever I saw this opening, and then I got, we got.
Yeah. But, like, basically, like, the husband is, like, okay, I gotta, if I can catch her cheating, basically, like, or, like, prove that she's having an extramarital affair, basically, then I can, like, force her to come back to me, basically. Which he does by getting Panya's chauffeur to, like, cling himself onto her, like, and then have them come in with cameras. But, I mean, the illogical part here, the fucking guy, fucking noir hero, apparently, like, Villadega's, like, next door, like, putting his drunk friend to sleep and hears it. And honestly, it's honestly just so good how it just, like, comes in there as, like, Emilio just, like, literally just turns into, it like, a literal noir hero in a way. Like, also, I like the kind of, like, civic details of how they cover it up, too. Like, him taking the jewels and, like, is like, and, like, her asking later, he's like, oh, well, you know, like, I had to make them think I was a thief, you know, because they would have just, like, pinned that on, like, I was your lover, which is so funny, because then they, like, immediately fall in love afterward. It's like, yeah.
And they still pin that on me.
But he must really believe in that kind of, like, instant love kind of thing. Cause like, yeah. It's literally he decides to save her from that moment.
And then literally take her to a restaurant, right? Like, yeah, it's, yeah, like, yeah. And, like, just, like, or driving around at first. Like,
yeah, but then, yeah, they go and they're, like...
Yeah.
I will say, it's kind of interesting, because there are certain moments where I thought he might go a little more negative, or not necessarily negative, but he was kind of pointing out how, like, there are certain scenes where it feels like they're trying to live the same moment again. Where they keep trying to order the same bottle, same music. It, like, literally happens three times. Like, that's also another Lubitsch thing, where he, like, repeats things, like... But, yeah, that's why I felt like... I don't know if he's trying to say they're forcing it or not, but I was like...
Do they ever get to eat it? Because they order it... Don't they order it on the ship? Or...
I think so at the
end. But then the ship sinks then. So it's, like, almost did they ever really get it?
And then, like, the same wine, you know, they keep saying.
Yeah, it's interesting. But this whole section where they're, like, on this date is very much, like, Angel, like, also Letter from an Unknown Woman, the kind of, like, fairy tale night kind of scene. It's that very similar, like, mold, which that Letter from an Unknown Woman scene, honestly, is, like, incredible. Like, maybe they're in this scene, but, like, I don't want to compare it here, but, like, they're both, like, amazing. It's, like, it literally is, like, it almost feels too perfect. Like, it's too perfect to be real, but, like, in a way that just makes it more affecting, I feel like. It almost, like, feels, like, dreamlike.
Do you think we ever get his motivations? Because we obviously get hers, to some degree, you know?
Yeah, some degree,
And we kind of get, like, why she's so...
No, I don't... I mean, it's...
I'm not saying it's a bad thing, I'm just kind of...
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, it's like, it's interesting, because, like, yeah. I don't know if we necessarily need one, though. It's like, it almost...
Well, like you're saying, it's like this whole logic...
Yeah, it's like, it makes sense, really. Or, yeah. Okay, not makes sense, but, like... It makes sense that it doesn't make sense. I don't know, like, but, like, this whole, like, because we're introduced to Caesar in this scene. Okay.
I will say, him deciding just to leave for New York, he's like, I want to help my friend. Like,
or whatever he says. And then the way he goes on the boat, too. It's like,
their, like, introduction to Caesar, though, like, so, like, this is obviously my name's first time watching. You don't know. That he's the head waiter for Caesar.
Oh, he doesn't know that. Yeah,
like, we don't know that. Yeah, so we're just thinking this guy. Like, we don't know what this guy does. In my opinion, this guy's like a fucking assassin or some shit. That's what it seems like.
But no, that's actually true.
Then he, like, has pull with Caesar because he just, like, knows him, is what I thought. But it's watching this again would be really interesting, honestly, because like, knowing fact that this man is just a head waiter
but, like, Caesar civically, just, like, this guy's face, oh my god, like, it's like, it's honestly something crazy, which we'll get to. One of the best shots of all time, him holding his face up in the bottle.
His cast name on Letterboxd is literally just in quotes, "The Great Caesar."
Oh my god, yes. Because, like, yeah, they go up to her, like, and basically to convince he goes, like, are you guys closing? No, we are closed.
Yes, yes,
basically coerce Caesar to, like, get him in. He's like, oh, like, you know, you're very famous in America. Like, she's trying to bullshit. Yeah. It's like, it look, like, his smile is just so good. He's like, all right, we're open now. Like, but basically, yeah, we get, like, kind of their, like, fairy tale, like, date night.
I will say, I like. This is just something to think about. I like all three of them have, like, way different accents.
And honestly, you know? Yeah, good point. Like,
so it's kind of like when they're all talking, like, the same room, it's kind of just... They all stand out.
In a way, yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's kind of the same in Hitari, in a way, too. There's, like, French guy, German guy, like American guy.
Honestly, yeah, both of these.
There's like, yeah, like the indigenous people.
This one just stands out, especially his, because like he's definitely not Italian. I was looking to make sure he's an American actor.
Is he really? Actually,
yeah. Well, that's what it says. So maybe it's
because he is like the biggest Italian character possible. Like he is the most stereotypical, but it's like in a way that like it's like. It's like makes him fun, like you love him more for it in a way. I don't know.
I don't think they're making fun of him really.
No, it's just
maybe just the accent a little bit. It's kind of funny.
No, it's just amazing though. Oh my god! Like especially because like when they order their stuff and he like they're like starting to dance and then he like brings out the food and then like he's like oh yeah like oh I have your food the crazy sauce and then like oh yeah keep it warm for us and he's like so mad
oh yeah
and like the way he like freaks out too like you just hear like him like clashing the pans and stuff is so good.
Yeah. Well, because like you can tell they did that. He's probably done this to Cesar before. Like he brought a girl back and then done this before.
Oh my god.
Okay, so you're saying this guy's a player?
Okay. Yes. Okay.
I can see. That's what I'm saying. Like we don't really get any backstory with him, so you can kind of just put whatever you want because, to his role. Like he's maybe more of the audience, you could say. Like,
maybe.
Like the audience saving her.
Okay, that's interesting.
He feels a lot like. Wes Ayers, I don't remember what Ralph Fiennes' character in the Grand Budapest Hotel. Like he feels a lot like that type of character, like this head waiter that you could see banging these old ladies for their money, but because you can also see this guy being like that too. So
well, yeah,
because
they even say in the American restaurant, he's like, "Yeah, I want to hire this guy for like he's going to bring all the ladies now."
Yeah, good point.
I mean, we're going to see. There's a moment later where I'm like, honestly, I didn't know head waiters had so much pull back then. He was, like, controlling the whole show.
Dude, he's like, yeah, he's like,
like head coach over the here. Chef, yeah.
Crazy. But yeah, honestly, like, those parts, like, some of my favorite season, when they like,
honestly,
actually
take
back over.
Honestly, yeah, like I'm saying that later, when they take over the restaurant.
Yeah, it's, like, so
good. That
But yeah, this scene's great too. Like, I mean, like, just like their conversation. The like, what's the name of
the
character?
Hand puppet.
The hand puppet.
Oh, yeah, Coco.
Which will come back.
Coco. Yeah,
which will
come back.
See, this is like, you mentioned Lubitsch. Like him, like, he might have learned from Lubitsch. Maybe if I had to guess.
I want to read more.
That was definitely a Lubitsch thing, like repeat thing. So like, it like almost sticks in the audience's head.
Yeah.
So like, the hand puppet comes back.
It comes
later.
As like like another character in itself.
Exactly.
Like,
well, this is like where the tonal shift really got me because like I was expecting this noir, and then like we just get like this. I don't want to say sappy because it's really sweet, but it was also sappy at points. But it's just like this really sweet sappy romance between these two people.
Yes. It's like
that you find believable. Like it feels like a fairy tale, but you do find
it's
it believable.
It's like it's how I was saying like the Letter from Unknown Woman like comparison. But yeah, their tango too is like amazing. Sort of like kind of like how long he kind of like or. Because, like, usually, like, if there was a tango, like, I feel like a filmmaker wouldn't go as long as he does.
He does spend a long time.
He does, like, quite a long time. And just, like, he, like, kind of cuts it, and, like, you can kind of see him from a distance still going, and, like, the music's great.
That's like, where it feels like that kind of, like, they just don't want this night.
Yeah, they don't want
to
end. Yes.
Especially her.
Yeah.
You know, her whole situation. Well, literally just happened.
Yes.
I like how you just see, like, one musician drop after another before. It's just, like, that one guy, I think, with the violin. It's just, like, he's the only one up still. And they dance the night away.
But then this is when she, like, comes back to the room. And this is, like, this kind of how I saw it. Is, like, she's, like, leaving one movie and entering another, basically. She's, like, going back to, like, the domestic drama, like, through a door, which, I mean, I need to look more on because I know Lubitsch loves doors. Oh my god! It's like honestly insane. Like it's like a door opening every like minute or 30 seconds, really. And Borzage, honestly, probably like I'm interested. I didn't really notice it this time. I need to pay more attention to it, but I mean, it's like because the door here is like it's like literally
noticeable.
Opening to another movie.
Yeah,
basically.
It's noticeable.
But. Basically, because
she like almost forgets, you
like
know?
She still has the jewels, the and they're like, "Oh yeah, we gotta find the jewels." And she's like,
honestly, way too obviously. Like, we have to find the jewels.
And he's like, "Oh," but like,
they're not looking at me at all. Even the husband's like, "Literally staring."
But her tossing it out is kind of slick though. Like she's like gonna go out like.
Well, the husband is like, "Oh, goes right away though."
Does he actually notice?
Yeah, right after the cops.
Okay, he knows the pearls. Okay,
yeah, after the cops leave. Yeah,
he knows. This is the pearls, not her tossing the jewels.
Oh,
yeah, tossing them
she
is like
she forgets about
because she's like, she's like, oh yeah,
forget about that though. That's honestly.
I mean, she is. I mean, she like, got stuffed off her feet.
Because that's how he figures out. He's like, why would the robber give you the jewels?
Yeah,
back?
Yeah. Honestly, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, I guess it kind of makes sense what you're saying. Like, it's a logical.
Like,
love,
she wasn't paying attention to that. Like, about it, yeah, she was like too swept up in the moment, you could say.
Okay. Cool.
But like she's like, but like the tossing the jewels thing is like clever because she's like, oh yeah, I can tell you where you came from. You came over here. She steps out and just like quickly, just like, I didn't notice that the first time either, which is kind of crazy. Dude.
Damn.
But basically,
yeah, the husband like killed someone. That's the reason why the cops are there. So.
and just trying to blame this. Honestly, yeah. he takes advantage of the situation.
And honestly, it also is implied that he found him like the guy like just like still awake, but then he like killed him. Basically,
yes,
it's like off screen. He doesn't like. I don't think you see
it.
Well,
we see
like
him grab something.
It's elliptical cut. I think, but
we do see him something like grab something like he's gonna kill this guy.
Yeah,
he's basically taking advantage of the situation.
Yes, yes, manipulate it, and then basically uses that to like.
Blackmail her
to come back to him, basically, to come to...
Well, I was going to say, it's like, this blackmail kind of hinges on her actually being in love with this guy.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
Like, yeah, like...
Because, like, if she was just like, oh, I don't care if he goes to jail, like,
the
blackmail wouldn't work, so...
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of why, like, it makes sense in that way, where, like, she loves this guy so much from this one night, she's actually willing to spend time with her husband again.
Yeah, on the other hand, he's so in love that he'll literally like travel fucking continents, basically,
just from this
just,
one night,
just for like have that one like little like sliver of chance, like literally opens up a fucking restaurant just to see this guy.
Honestly,
it's honestly like putting the words.
He's like, yeah, she'll come. She'll
yeah, it's like you know she'll come. Like,
see, yeah, there's just a bunch of like illogical decisions that like. Honestly, some, I guess it's more hit or miss. Like, some of them are like,
yeah,
I believe I'm going to come into them, and some of them are like, okay, that's just like a scriptwriter, like, writing a good ending or something.
It affects me. I don't know.
Honestly, yeah. But, like, you have that belief, so, like,
yeah.
Kind of just, no, like, I like the theme of that the movie, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially since, now thinking about it, they do spend a lot of time apart from each other.
They do, yes.
Like, where if you would think if it was a normal Hollywood movie, like, the two leads would at least be together the whole time. Like,
yeah, that's a good point, actually, yeah. Damn.
Kind of like Shrek, you know. I don't know why I thought
that. That's a crazy bull.
It's like because they're apart a lot too.
Yes, yes, yes. But yeah, that's when reads like basically he reads in the newspaper that like she's back with her husband, and then basically embarks on the United States with Cesar. Cesar wouldn't know.
This is the most logical decision of all.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, I'm coming with you.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I've heard people say that they think Cesar might be in love with Paul. Which is interesting. I could see it though.
See, theories like that is where I have a problem. Is like, it's like I can see why people say that, but it's clear that this Cesar, even though we love him, he is a supporting character.
Yeah,
in like the truest sense of the word. Like he's not supposed to, like he's not supposed to have his own feelings. Like he's literally there to support the main characters.
Yeah,
you know. So it's like it's not like his storyline is not supposed to mean anything
he's there,
outside of that.
He's there to support all Italians out there.
Yeah, like literally, he just goes to New York. Like it doesn't matter. Like he literally has no feelings. I mean, his own kind of like his own life.
Yeah,
his life is attached
literally,
to this.
Literally.
So I guess I can see
to
why people would be
too,
like,
yeah.
if he was a true human character, you'd be like, oh, he's in love with this guy. But it's like.
Yeah.
He's not, like, that's not the movie.
It's just funny to think about it.
No,
like,
I could see that. It just,
but, I
don't get that from the movie, though. That's why
I
said
that.
That's why I'm saying he's more like a supporting character.
Yeah. But this is when, basically, I think this is when they start up the, rehabilitate the restaurant, which the scene where they initially go in is so
honestly,
good.
Yeah, this is such a great scene.
Honestly, maybe the best. No, these scenes might be my favorites.
This is
like, it's honestly so good. Them, like, notice, it's like, honestly, kind of like a Tati thing, in a way, like, I could see this, like, being, like, a Tati thing, like, noticing, like, the waiters, like, not, like, trying to, like, notice what the waiters are doing wrong and trying to, like, fix them, basically, and, like, observing them from a distance, and then, like, he, like, does,
all
like,
these waiters just, like, in the corner,
like
talking,
like, just talking or whatever, like, not even seeing the couple that's right, and
that was so funny,
and they're, like, complaining about it to, I guess, is this guy the head waiter?
I think he's, like, the manager or something.
He's, like, yeah, manager or something, and then, like, he's like, look at that, but they have a museum. And he just, like, takes the role himself.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
I
like,
thought the other guy was the owner. Because
was he the owner? Okay,
yeah, because it was, like, one of my favorite, like, funny moments is the owner's, like, or he's like, how much does your head waiter pay you? He's like, oh, he doesn't pay me. I pay him. He's like, you pay him? It's like, oh my God. It's like, you're paying the staff? Or you're paying the salary?
Well, I think he's
applying
to get so much tips, he pays.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
It's the power dynamic.
Yeah, yeah. No, but, like, I love this whole background thing of, like, like Europeans knowing how to run a restaurant way better than Americans, you know, because they just come in and automatically, like, Americans are all lazy and stuff. I mean,
And he, like, does such a good job, too, like, what he's doing and everything. He's, like, and, like, getting them to do something. He's like, go get a menu. Like, but
this is where it reminded me of, like, Ralph Fiennes and
Greg Sestak.
No, because the guy says, he's like, how much do you pay your head, how much does your head weigh better? He's like, no, we pay them. We pay them a salary and a percentage.
Yes. And
then the camera, like, turns to them standing in the corner talking, like, a salary and a percentage for that.
Oh, that's so good.
It's so funny, dude.
And I love, like, how it's like a
Frank Warzog hates workers, I guess.
Okay. Like, awesome,
just trying to get a break from their long hours. We've all been there.
Okay, well, that's
that one time. Because, like, when he takes over and he, like, literally starts acting as the head waiter and he, like, he tells the actual head waiter what to do. And, the, like, the owner's like, yeah, do it.
No, I love how he's immediately, like, the guy. Yeah. He's, like, everyone's in a line. He's, like,
critiquing. He, like, takes over right away.
And, like, and then, like, Caesar's in the back, too, like, saying, like, look, adding all nice and tough. And he goes, oh, yeah, Caesar, your Caesar saying, like, kind of sucked today or whatever. Like, something like that. It's like, Caesar's like, wait, what do you say fuck me for? Like,
yeah. But, yeah, they basically both, like, take over the restaurant.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, all of that just to, like, maybe, like, have a chance of Brian Dewar again. It's like...
And this is the where I was like, okay, head away to Marsab Crazy Pool, because he's like, we're going to leave one table empty in case they come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like permanently
reserved. Yeah, imagine how much money they're losing.
Yeah, but, like, he's like, make sure to water the flower, like, change the flower, water the flowers every day. Yeah. Like,
it's like, damn.
It's crazy. But then, I think this is when...
But then we also see she's kind of left her husband once they got to America, right?
Well, yeah, no, I think it's, like, literally on the ship. I think they, like...
Oh, they...
She like, escapes from him, fight, basically. Yeah. They have a fight, and, like, she's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not doing it. Like... But he's gonna keep trying, obviously. Like, gets a fucking portrait made of her. But...
That's an awful thing, too. Is that what movie... It might be Madam Day, where, like, they're talking about their huge pictures that are, like, right on the walls, too.
Oh, that might be... Wait, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Madam Day.
That seems like something to be Madam Day.
It's in one of them.
Yeah,
I didn't think about this.
I mean, it does. There's like this undercurrent of obviously obsession with that with the husband character that is not as well drawn as you would as maybe a better director would have. But I don't know, because the husband character is kind of one note.
Yes,
he is. Yeah,
he's like a stereotypical evil character.
But I think I don't know. To me, it's just like he's just kind of like in a way they're just like I don't know how to say it, but like in a way he's sort of he's supposed to just play kind of like the straight man in a way like. He's, like, he's really just, like, a plot vehicle to, like, have all the great moments between, like, the other two, if that makes sense. I don't know.
That's kind of what we're saying, too. Yeah, that's what usually a villain is.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're designed to lose, like, from the...
He works for me for some... Like, I mean, he's not, like... I mean, I'm not, like, in love with this character. But I think it works for the movie's sake. I don't know.
He makes you buy into this obsession at the very least. So,
it just
that he has.
I mean, him killing himself at the end though, like it makes no sense because this whole thing is like all of his actions in the movie is like shows a guy that wouldn't do that. He's like too selfish to do that.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. I need to think about it more.
I mean, well, he was selfish enough to literally kill 3,000 people just to kill this one girl. Yeah, and then he kills himself afterwards. Whenever
and he actually doesn't kill any of these 3,000 people. Just like one news broadcast, like kind of shifts him.
I mean, I mean,
that's why I'm like the ending just feels a little rushed. I mean, it's so they can have that happy ending at the very.
Maybe it's like, maybe it's like he loves her too much. I don't know, like if that like.
But do you get from all these actions in the movie? Do you get a villain that actually is in love with this woman? Or I see it more. He's just like selfish because he's like losing.
Or yeah,
he's
I like, guess
it's
like
his ego's
like little ego, like.
But that like someone with the ego this big would never kill himself.
He's a rich man who like who has everything. So like or like he thinks he deserves everything.
Exactly.
In a way. And that's maybe how.
That's why I don't see it as him. Like I don't see him like all of a sudden he's killing himself out of love at the end. Like
yeah,
I just don't see it.
Or out of remorse.
Because there are certain movies where even the villain. You can tell there's still, like, some kind of love for this woman, even though she's choosing, you know, the hero.
Yeah.
There are movies like that, for sure, where but this one is just, like I said, he kind of feels just like a one-note villain.
No, I can see that. But also, like...
I mean, even
the
you
ending
just said
too,
plot vehicle.
The ending, too, I literally, like, I also am more focused. Like, I don't know if it's, like, I'm more, like... It's more, like, I'm not as focused on him killing himself as the actual, like, kind of moment of, like, grace or whatever you could call it. Like, just, like, the kind of, like, transcendental, like, ending. But regardless.
We'll get there. We've already talked about it three times, so you haven't got there.
No, we basically have gone there. But basically, I think this is when they, like, he tricks the husband, tricks her into thinking, like, oh, we got the guy. Or at least
he might get the guy.
He says he got the guy. We don't know, actually, it's left to our interpretation whether, like, the guy is actually, like, they got, like, the wrong guy, or, like, the guy, he's just, like, kind of lying about it, or, like, he may have forced it onto one another guy or whatever. But it was really just, like, it's just literally just a ploy to, like, try and get her, like basically trap her again or something. But then, like, the night before they go out, they go, by chance, go to the restaurant. And,
of
like,
course.
Honestly, like, I really love Gene Arthur's acting in the scene. Because, like,
I love the one moment where they're, like, in the car, and they're like, okay, let's go to Victor's before we go or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's, like, not smiling. And he's like, will you promise at least when you get there, will you smile, please? And she's okay.
Yeah.
Like, not knowing that she's going to see
this guy
there, which is kind of,
like,
funny. But...
Yeah. Like, and, like, not Lily, just like, how, like, different, like,
her mood changes.
Yeah,
it goes with what you're saying, though. These whole huge swings of the movie is, like, from the character's perspective, all of a sudden she thinks she's about to go back because, like, she thinks her lover is arrested.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden she just meets him in this random restaurant in America.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how are you going
to
react? Like,
how are you supposed to react?
It's like you almost can't, like.
But the fact that she's not allowed to react, like, openly to
she still has to hide it,
to save him, kind of.
Damn. And then, like, while she's, like, elated, he's like kind of like mad, basically. He's almost like disappointed in a way. Like,
well, like, this is like where it's like his expectations of opening this restaurant were for her to come by herself to see him, obviously. So, like,
yeah,
her not realizing that this restaurant is owned by him and coming in with her husband was not what he was expecting. So it's kind of like messing with his expectations a little bit. And then he also thinks that she's laughing at him because she realizes what he does.
Nah, and, like,
which
the,
is another,
yeah,
good, which is another
good
part. So.
And also the way, like, after he takes their order, he
the same order too.
Order. I think it was, like, right after he takes it, he, like, walks to the kitchen. He's like, okay, like, you can start using that other table that I was saving, It's like, I don't care anymore. And then, like, the reaction of Caesar, like, hearing it too, it's like, Each like item on the, like, menu, he's like okay.
Yeah, yeah. When he gets all three,
it's like literally
the repetition.
Dude,
like,
it's like so good. And, like, his reaction, because he's now elated.
Oh, yeah.
It's like everyone's like, it's just like all the emotions are getting, like, so confused. It's like so great. But yeah, Paul's down bad because of it. But then I think it's the next, like, major point is when they're driving away, and then.
She tears up the ticket.
Yeah, she tears up the
now
ticket.
Now that she knows the truth,
yes.
She's not going to have to go anymore.
And then...
Even though...
Yeah, honestly, that's another element, too. Like,
the husband doesn't...
Now she realizes that, like, the husband...
It's kind of one of those moments... Like, this is definitely a Lubitsch thing where, like, all three characters think something different what's going on.
Yes.
Like, in the same scene.
Yeah, that's heavy in Angel, honestly.
Yeah.
Which, Angel's probably better in this movie, but, like, they're both
from
amazing.
What I remember, yeah.
But, like, they're also kind of in the similar genre, though. Like, kind of like old Hollywood, like... Love triangles that are, like, kind of like adulterous tales in a way, like, based on, like, this, like, one night in a way.
It just a little bit, like, it just depends your take. Lubitsch is, like, a little more cynical.
No, they're definitely,
slash
yeah.
honest to me.
And like,
this one is a little more, like, it does fit that theme you're saying of kind of just these...
Yeah.
Like, the plots of literally, like, you know, she thinks she's going to back to Europe, and all of a sudden she sees the guy here. Like, those kind of huge swings fits the kind of theme you're saying.
And there's also, like, Lubitsch is, I feel like Angel was a lot about, like, what was, like... kind of like the almost like there's like a lot of melancholic, like, kind of like what he's like doing in between the lines, really. Which I'm not saying like Borat is like all dialogue or whatever, but like,
and I feel like Lubitsch cares about the three, all three in the triangle.
No, yeah, I
can little
see
more
that.
Than,
yeah. Borat's kind of, yeah, I guess, yeah,
it's not really
be,
a triangle movie, like, yeah,
it's like functionally a triangle, but it's more just about them. Yeah, I can actually,
exactly.
Yeah, that actually
this
makes
one
sense.
Feels a lot like Fate, too, though. Like, definitely just like this, maybe just Chance, but we've talked about in this podcast a lot, like, Fate and Chance are can be seen as the same thing, but this thing of her, like, tearing up the ticket, thinking that she's, like, finally not having to go back to France, gonna be here with her lover for, like, for however long they need to be. And then she goes back to her lover, and they're still going to France. Like, she can't,
they
like, escape this.
Yeah,
because he doesn't want someone going to jail for him, basically.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, because that's another thing. Like, he doesn't know anyone that died during that scene. Yeah. Still. Yeah. So when he finds out, he actually thinks he killed them.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
So that's like another kind of thing of like this information being withheld from different people.
Yeah, it's like no one really knows like the truth in a way, I guess.
Well, except for the audience, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. But this is when we get onto the ship. They're going to
I think it is a kind of big scene because it's like earlier she decides to go to with the husband because she doesn't want him to take the fall, right? You know, she could have been like, oh, just one night, like it is what it is. Yeah. But now she's willing to let some random guy take the fall because she's so in love with this guy. Yeah, you know, honestly, it's almost like the negative side of love in a way.
Yeah.
You know, where like you're too much in love, you can't see what you're actually doing to someone else.
No, yeah. And honestly, okay,
that's what he basically says.
Yeah, that's why he's like, you know, I feel too guilty, we have to go back. But yeah.
No, honestly, now I think about it, maybe that's why I don't, or I just kind of thought why I've kind of like been reckoning like why I'm not as bothered by the husband. I think it's because I honestly, it is really about them two more than him, in a way. I think that's maybe why I'm not as bothered by the villain character. But yeah, we're getting to there.
Well, whenever you brought up like this movie and whenever you just again like talking about Bull in the Head, this it does kind of remind me about John. Some of the stuff reminds me about John Woo, specifically like his like our main character's like upstanding, like he's like this upstanding guy that can't take someone else being like basically wrongfully convicted for what he did for what he believes he did because he doesn't know the truth basically.
Yeah.
And then like the other thing is like the villain reminds me of like Anthony Wong in Hardboiled, where it's like they're literally willing to sacrifice everyone just because of their ego. Because
they're a hater.
Just because of their ego.
S tier hater, right?
That's why why Hardboiled's better than this movie, because Anthony Wong doesn't go back on that. He would not commit suicide at the end. But
we get to we get the ship. They're like having dinner again. But we see the Caesar is stuck onto the ship. And we get the great moment of him like wanting to cook for them. The chef are like the all the chefs in there are like, no way, we're gonna we don't know who you are. And then like the way him like him be like, have you ever heard of Caesar, the great Caesar? And he's like, oh yeah, we have his sauce. Like, where's your sauce? And then takes the guy's hat, puts it on him, holds up the bottle to his like face, and just starts smiling. And it's like,
damn, this guy became a hit fast.
It's like he really found my way to my heart.
I mean, how could he not? For America.
But this is where you're saying like it's another like. Another movie, basically. Yeah, like he's in his own movie.
Oh my god! Yeah, he's him, bro. He's him. I'd say that we need a Caesar spinoff. Oh wait, he's dead, probably. But like, in another world, maybe Caesar travels the world.
Honestly,
the great Caesar travels the world.
Honestly, he's got like some Mr. Bean qualities.
maybe. Well, by extension, would that mean Tati? Because Mr. Bean kind of is Tati. You know?
No, definitely. Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. But yeah, this is when we get to the, we kind of already talked about this, but yeah, like, the husband, basically, like, makes the ship go into, like, dangerous conditions.
And this is another movie that we work,
into.
We're now getting to Titanic Disaster Movie. We missed, probably my favorite shot in the movie is the sunset when they're both standing on the boat. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's an insane shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, there's
skipped over my nose.
Honestly, the movie looks really good. Like, because apparently I heard that Greg Tolan had uncredited work on this project.
There's scenes with the really shit, like
which he's like the DP behind Citizen Kane, and like,
oh okay,
like
with the shadow. Like, there's certain like, very, deep like deep shadows focused, I can see. Yeah. The sunset shot, and then there's also the shot where like. It's when she's first on the boat going to America, when she's first, like, stuck with her husband, and, like, you see her, like, just sitting in the chair, kind of. She's, like, super depressed. It's, like, an amazing shot. Yeah. No, there's some great shots in this.
No, there's definitely great shots.
But
yeah, this is basically when the ship hits.
The husband's, like, master plan.
Yeah, gets him to drive to Gary Christian, and then we get Titanic 2.0, basically. They literally mention the Titanic.
Honestly, there's that crazy montage of the SOS.
After okay, the, yeah. The yeah. Crashes. Damn, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Give me some Ziga Vertov vibes?
Honestly, yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, I forgot to say. That reminds me. So, Frank Borzage, a certain director, called him one of the three greatest filmmakers in America, alongside Stroheim and Chaplin. And his name was Sergei Eisenstein.
Called Borzage?
Yeah. Really interesting. He said Vertov.
No like, way.
Yeah. No, there's actually a quote he says, though.
Damn.
I tried to look for more. I couldn't find more, but yeah, it's crazy, that's, though.
I mean, Chaplin and...
I mean, in the SOS scene, it reminded me of, I think it was, at the 11th year or whenever they
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
like exactly. All the radio shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Borzage a Soviet head? Vertov head? No, I'm sorry.
I wonder, though. No, I mean, because Eisenstein did visit America around this time. So,
did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that, like, Eisenstein... You wouldn't expect that, honestly. Eisenstein loving him, like, that much. Interesting, but
I mean,
I haven't seen anything from besides this.
I don't know what movies.
Yeah. You also. Yeah.
I didn't know. I didn't see more Borzage. I don't want to hate.
No, you should watch. I've Always Loved You. It's like so good.
Because Stroheim is amazing. Like
Stroheim, I haven't seen any of
them. Be so good. Because okay. I've been thinking about watching it again.
I've really never seen you talk about him. But as we said, this is when basically like you think they're gonna die. She like was in a lifeboat initially. She like goes back into the boat and basically like as soon as you think they're gonna die, like. We have the like elation that they that was it the anchor hit the
I don't know what happened the
yeah,
ship
yeah but it doesn't matter really. It's just like it's yeah but basically like as I said before I
the
just,
death
like,
of the rich guy
in a way the illogical thinking, like nature of this ending also like kind of like fits the illogical nature of the love but like also like it's like yeah it's like literally love like. This love so like Dvorak believes in this love so strong that it like defies everything
okay.
in a way.
But you're defending that the logical ending fits like the illogical nature.
Yeah.
Would you defend that if like a normal like if someone defended like a Marvel movie ending like this?
Well, I mean, it's not just that is that. It's also the build up to that. I think.
Okay.
I think
it really undercuts the scene before. Maybe if the
I
scene because I was literally on board. I was like, oh shit, because it kind of was going the back and forth thing.
Yeah.
But I thought it was going to end kind of positive, you know, and I was kind of disappointed by that.
It's just like yeah.
But then it goes like. Oh shit, like she literally is making that choice of I'm gonna die with this guy rather than go back to my husband.
Yeah. It's just
and so like it's kinda in a way like he's not even getting what he wants even when he gets what he wants.
I guess
you know.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh never mind, it's like we have to give the audience like literally this kind of
Borzage just he's just very much an optimist about like about this stuff, but that's weird.
But I do like it. I like the scene right before obviously with all the movies, so.
Just stop the movie, Danny. No,
it made me want to see Titanic. I've never seen Titanic.
Have you never seen Titanic?
No.
Titanic's okay.
This one is at least like an hour and a half or something.
Yeah, Titanic's
so,
like long as
yeah, it's like, oh my god, there's no way.
So. 3 hours?
Yeah.
But overall great movie.
Yeah,
or
really
good movie, good movie.
I really knew David probably wouldn't like this much, but
I didn't like the ending either, but I did really like everything besides the ending, basically. So,
because to me, like death, choosing death over life is kind of illogical. That's the most logical thing in a way you could do.
Interesting.
You know.
Yeah.
So then, just being like, actually, never mind. You know, we'll just write in a script detail at the end and save you. Like that's what
know.
It feels like.
It
literally
like
happens
so
rushed too.
No, it's just to me. It doesn't feel like that. I guess that's like.
But how? It literally is like one after the other. It's like,
I don't know.
Let me have this guy kill himself, and the next scene is this guy. Oh, hey!
No, also, just
okay.
the way he films it too. I mentioned before.
Yeah, it
I
is
think
more
really
like
works for me.
It just bothers me.
I don't. That's not but yeah, that's History's Made at Night.
History's Made at Night.
Coming up,
there's a lot of night in the movie. I'll give it credit though.
Okay,
it lives up to the night title.
History's Made at Night is a great
title
too. But yeah.
They Live by Night is a kind of a...
Interesting.
Honestly, I need to rewatch that because it kind of has some similar themes to this one, you know?
Yeah.
But that one has a more depressing ending, if I remember right.
Yes.
Like, it has the more kind of tragic ending, though.
Which
I thought
much,
this was going to
end. That's Nicholas Ray. Nicholas Ray. He loves it. He lives for it.
Not Johnny Guitar, though.
But Johnny Guitar, it defies everything.
Yeah.
But, it's cinema perfection. Cinema perfection. But yeah, coming up next we are going to review Howard Hawks' 1962 film Hatari, so stay tuned. Thank you. we're going to get into Howard Hawks 1962 film Hatari, starring John Wayne, some other people. I don't remember their names, but...
Hardy Krueger, Elsa Martinelli... Red Buttons is...
Wait.
Pocket's real name is Red Buttons.
Really? Wait, no. That's got to be a stage name. That's got... Wait, hold on. Click on his...
Okay, maybe. That's Red what it says on Letterboxd.
Red Buttons is a crazy...
He must have changed his name, but he started his show business career singing on a street corner as a child. So
okay, it's definitely...
That seems like it, bro.
But yeah, some actors do that. They keep their station or like.
But still, it doesn't say like okay, real name. Actually,
his real name.
Born Aaron Schwat.
Schwat.
But then he changed it, I guess.
Interesting. Red Buttons.
Who got his name from a uniform he wore while singing as a singing bellhop.
Damn.
And he just kept it. Honestly, he should have just left his name as Red Buttons in every movie. Like, I feel like if his name was Red Buttons in this movie, it would make perfect sense.
It would have.
I like Pockets though.
Pockets is good.
I like Pockets. Yeah. It's just all like. No one's out here being called Pockets. I don't know. It's like, yeah, I've never seen that before. But yeah, this is...
Yeah, that's true. It's a good nickname.
Honestly. This is like easily... I wouldn't say eat, but it's definitely my favorite Howard Hawks movie. It's definitely his like... From what I've seen before, it's his like peak of like literally like there is no plot, dog. Like, it's like... They're like... there's like a quota they kind of have to meet, but there's like literally like you see the board in like one scene, like it's like
honestly, yeah, there's a lot like, of animals on there too.
And I love it. It's like it's. I think I read something where like someone contrasted like how funny it was. It's like a spreadsheet, honestly, kind of like figure, and it's like contrast, I guess, to like the rest of the movie, which is like very like almost like structureless in a way. It's like the structure, like versus the structureless in a way, kind of like that word. But yeah, this is.
Was Hawks trying to do that on purpose? Like
Hawks was definitely like a very like structureless director, or in the way of like he just didn't really care much about like traditional plot or
narrative
plot structure, maybe, or because he definitely still has kind of like those like I guess more of it like all like his like moments where you could call maybe cliches, which I think he does cliches really well, but like. Within the character. It's possible.
I guess if it's done really well, it's not a cliche.
Yeah.
Almost.
I guess yeah.
Because if you call it a cliche, it's like almost a negative.
Yeah, that's a good
but
point.
Maybe not. Maybe
I don't know. But like basically, he. I kind of lost my train of thought.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You're like he does cliches really well.
Yeah, he does.
Because you're talking about he's kind of structureless, but also not.
Okay. Yeah. He. Yeah, I'm just going to keep... I don't remember exactly, but I was like... But basically, yeah, he literally, like... Basically, from what I tell, like, he literally said, like, yeah, we made this film, like, a vacation. Like, they literally just, like, went to Tanzania. All, like, the stunts and stuff, no stunt people at all. Literally just, like, had them all do it. I'm not even joking.
Crazy.
Like, John was actually having to go on that like, chair and, like, having to do that.
Like, he was the one running the cameras right behind. There's some really great POV shots, like, where they're... Like, the cameras are right behind...
Yeah, I think... I'm pretty sure, yeah. That's what I've read.
Like, with his weapon or whatever he shoots.
Hawks said it was. And, like, and apparently they had to, like, redub a lot of, like, the audio during those scenes. Because apparently John Wayne was cussing so much.
Sure.
Which is hilarious.
I mean,
but it's dangerous as shit.
That's a negative. We should have got the original. We want an OG cut,
bro. They want this released, and they don't want. This is like a time where they probably would, like.
No, now, though. I want an OG cut.
Okay, yeah. Because
that would be insane. Like. That would make it so much more believable too. If you just hear like Wayne like.
Okay, you don't need it. It doesn't need it.
No, because I actually thought it was like I thought it was stunt. Like
no,
it looks so good.
It looks amazing.
I thought it was stunt. So like the fact that you're telling me it's not, it was actually them doing it.
Yeah, it's like insane.
But now I'm like, okay, that makes me like Wayne, John Wayne even more now too. Because he's the one actually standing on the outside.
But yeah, like this is kind of like, in a way, it falls into the typical, like, Hawks loves, kind of, that's why I kind of said earlier, like, off camera, like, I wonder if Michael Mann likes him, because, like, the whole, like, he loves, like, studying, like, these guys in, like, professions, like, this anthropological, like, arc, like, study of these, like, of, like, these, like, almost, like, dangerous professions where, like, how do you, like, even, like, function as, like, a normal human being with, like, relationships and, like, duties and everything, while, like, any day, like, you could, like, die or whatever, like, it's, like... Only Angels Wings, I say, directly more, like, deals with that. Atari is, like, it's kind of, like, breezing everywhere. It's kind of, like, more breezy about it. But it's still there, and this is kind of, like, a soft remake I kind of see as, like, Only Angels Wings. But also, along with that kind of, like, study of that. He's also, it's like almost like a nature documentary at points. It's like, it's same with all, like, of course we're gonna talk about the animals, like, honestly insane stuff, like, put the film about these, like, it's like, oh, there's so many good moments. Like, literally, this movie, it's like, it's 2 hours, it's like 2.5, 2 hours, 40 minutes. It's like the quickest watch of all time. It's like honestly insane. Like, yeah. You just kind of get swept up in everything, like, everything going on. It just like feels like nothing for me.
No, yeah, you really do. Because, like, I think it takes place over like 3 months or something.
Yeah.
But it does feel like you're just getting, like, literally the all the best moments in these 3 months.
Dude, it's so insane. There's an endless amount of great moments in it, which, I mean, like, how I think about film, honestly, is just, like, within moments, like, honestly.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like, this is just, like, prime for it. But, yeah. I guess before we get into it, I'll ask you all your thoughts. Who wants to
play, I guess? I'll go first.
You looked at blank, so...
You looked at blank. No, I really like Atari. Honestly,
that's a good Freudian slip for the comics. Yeah. Even though this is really, like, wilder... Like, I guess it's a safari.
Yeah, I guess it's... Yeah.
Except for... It's not a safari because they're, like, actually the workers. Like, no, this is their job. Yeah, I guess they hunt for zoos.
They hunt for zoos.
That's kind of
an interesting. They hunt for zoos and circuses. But
yeah, there's some question
about. No, I would say that's there's a civic scene parts. In the movie which we're kind of glossing.
Oh, there's some questionable.
It's like, yeah, but we know it's a long movie.
No, like
there's definitely some very Hawks, you know, subtle racist moments.
it's not subtle. The one in his other western that I think I showed you guys is like honestly that's like the most unsubtle like racism I've ever seen. But like, yeah, this one has a scene that's very questionable. And some other stuff that could be more leading, but yeah, whatever.
No, I would say the reason the thing that keeps me back from loving Hatari as much as you do probably is because like I hate watching like this hunting of animals. Like I honestly hate it, and I think it's extremely interesting in terms of archival footage because it does feel like a documentary, yeah. At least in those terms. Like that's why I've mentioned Oliver Ottinger before. Actually, is like she does the same type of thing where she's making this fictional movie. But she's capturing, like, real things that people actually would, like, do for their jobs, basically. And that's what this feels like. Like, this feels like you're watching archival footage of like, workers capturing animals for zoos. But I also don't like watching people capture animals for zoos.
No, I can see
that. Especially in the way that they do it sometimes, but... Although they, I mean, they're
at least
they're
not killing them.
No, exactly. Like, yeah, it's like, I was very worried that we were gonna get like giraffes being shot in the fucking head because I've been fucking seasoned on that with Chris Marker for some reason. But everything that happens to Safari is terrible. No, but besides that, like the character moments are honestly really amazing.
I think the character
dynamics between all of them are great. Like. I think my favorite is the French guy and the German guy.
Oh my god, they are
the best. Like they were so fucking good. They're probably my favorite dynamic in the movie. But
interesting.
Well, and the kind of fake triangle he sets up.
Yeah, honestly, like, but the way they like
until red buttons.
Yeah, pockets comes in. I don't know.
No red buttons.
Red buttons. it's so good. Honestly, it's surprising. Like it's. It's almost like it's, and I'm kind of like, I'll talk about this more, I guess, when we're talking about him, but like, it's almost like they kind of like, this kind of like triangle or like square. I don't even know.
They love each other.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
I will just say my brother walked in whenever I was watching Hatari, and he was like, he walked in on the part where they were like, it's after they had fought the second time or whatever. Okay. And they were just talking, and he's like, are these two guys in love?
Oh my God.
Yes.
Especially after they realize it's like pockets.
Yes.
And
like, yeah.
They have their
own. No, because they're like, we're going to find a date. We're going to share. Like, oh, I'm like, bro. but yeah, it's like they're like, they kind of like can't keep. This is, I think it's another thing with Hawks and like his study of professions. Like, they can't like, they almost can't like break out of like their mode of like hunting, basically. They're almost like having to hunt like. Off the clock in a way, like
yeah.
They have to hunt like, you know, like other humans in a way, like.
Well, that's what makes that last scene so great.
Yeah,
it's like literally their last.
Literally,
hunt.
Yes.
Their last hunt is going to find her.
Oh my god! But
you know, we'll definitely get it there. But
Danny.
Overall, I'm kind of in between Blake and you. Like, there's like parts that I super love about this movie.
Yeah,
for sure. Like, definitely like the more like. Your reviews of some like just moments, something like that.
That was a Ford movie, but
yeah, it actually kind of applies.
It fits here too. Very much.
But yeah. The thing is, like, I love like no narrative movies.
Yeah.
But like to me, no narrative doesn't mean no coherence, if that kind of makes sense.
I understand what you're saying. Because like I was thinking this with Sai. Like his movies have like no narrative, but
yeah,
there's like a purpose behind it. I don't know what the purpose of Atari is besides just hanging out, which is fine.
Well, to me, it's not just the, it's just like there are certain moments, like okay, for Pocket, the example of Pockets and her.
Yeah.
He starts this whole thing that's kind of interesting, like oh maybe she's gonna choose him, and then it just not there. Like think about it, it just doesn't show up.
Well,
like,
I guess
it kind of hits out in the first.
How I kind of see it, like Hogg's kind of no matter what like the narrative or whatever is at, like there's something about like, he kind of is a mystery to me still in a way that like almost like he. He brings out these emotions still out of, like, these, like, non, like, not contained in plot conventions kind of moments that, in a way...
Well, those are my favorite moments. But then it's, like, to me, he's still, like, kind of tied to the plot, like, kind of typical resolutions. Like, for example, like, the her at the end. She still kind of ends up with John Wayne.
Yeah.
Even though it's, like, it makes more sense that she would run away. I mean, actually, I don't know if that makes sense either, but...
Yeah,
but that found just those kind of moments. Yeah. The last scene is the very last scene.
It's like a full circle kind of like it's like a
like it's stuff like that. Where like I don't know if I really buy. Like, do you need to have a love story in this if it's a pure hangout movie?
I mean, you don't need to, but
like, does the photographer really have to fall in love with John Wayne in a hangout movie?
I really
it's just there for the gags,
in a way.
Well, yeah, but the gags will still work. I feel like.
No, but, I mean, it's literally just there for the gags most of the time. Every romantic moment they try to have is broken up by something. So
yeah, that's true.
Like it's always either it's always Pockets, always Pockets,
and then it's the elephant. Oh yeah, amazing.
But that's what I'm saying. There are still little moments where I'm like, it's still like he still loves those kind of moments at the same time. Like
yeah, no, that's what I was saying. Like he's still like,
yeah, he's
it's more. It's more like yeah, it's like. He still has these character moments, but I think he does the character moments really well. Like character moments that you would find in like more narrative movies. He kind of like fits that in, I feel like.
Yeah.
But then like it's like Hawks is super interesting. I need to read up more on him because like especially some of his like
especially since he had such a long career, like obviously like he must have changed or I don't know, like, changes his ideas of what movies were.
Yes.
Because this is late. This is the 60s, right?
Well, yeah, 62.
So this would be, like, late Hawks.
Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure, yeah, people referred to it as, so. But yeah, we can go ahead and get into it. So kind of like how Danny and I did with Rio Bravo, we're not going to, like, go through this, like, in order, because, like, you kind of, like, it's, you could, but it's just, like, I think it's easier to
talk about.
I mean,
we should name at least some of the major narrative points throughout. Well, yeah. Because, like, there are some brief, like, you could kind of chat, like, the Indian gets hurt.
Yeah.
That's kind of the first part of the movie, the first.
But, like, what's interesting about this movie, too, is that it's literally kind of, from what I've read, too, like, they kind of, like, the first thing they kind of had in the movie are, the poaching scenes, and they just kind of built everything around it, in a way.
Interesting.
So you could say like, yeah. So like, we could kind of like talk about like those first.
By each animal they do too. Maybe kind of, those are like little intercuts throughout the movie.
Yeah,
like,
but all, if you want, we could just like go with the animals, just like animals in general. Do you want to do that? Like,
I mean, yeah, like.
Like, cause like
the first is like the rhino where they.
Right, like, cause this is like kind of like the hardest one in a way, like. Because it also gets like pretty detailed too, like how they do it. They have all the, like the strategy behind it.
Which that's why I said it feels like archival footage.
Literally,
like, you're just watching like actual shit happen.
And like the way they like because they have that they have the rhino ram into the guy, which like
honestly also a good opening music too. We should mention the soundtrack.
Oh, the soundtrack's really amazing. We'll talk about the video. Oh my god! It's like,
but also this opening like drums, I think.
Yes. There's also a moment too when. The French guy sees the German guy kissing the girl. The piano that's playing to that scene, I really like too. Like he has subtle moments like that.
But and this opening scene is one of my favorite parts of the movie. I kind of mentioned it too with Borsod, just the idea of just like repeating stuff throughout movies to kind of get you like entranced. You know, it's like it's almost like comforting every time you see these like wide shots of these vans going to the, you know, to go to their hunt anyway. Because you're like. This is, like, you can see, they never mention it explicitly, but you can see why, this is, like, why they do their job.
Yeah.
You know, it's, like, these kind of, like...
Yeah, these, like, moments, yeah.
Yeah, basically, like, it looks, honestly, kind of peaceful.
Anyway, yeah, honestly.
Especially the way he films it, too, all these, like, huge wide shots of them going across the desert.
It's, like, you can, like, it's honestly insane he filmed this in, like, 62. Like, it's,
yeah,
like... Yeah. He's literally, like... he's literally falling behind them on like a truck that fast, and like the, and you can feel the like the, oh, almost yeah. like the speed and like the like almost like yeah. you can say danger.
Well, I like guess, when they actually start the rhino chases.
Yeah.
And some of the shots are insane.
I mean, some of these, sorry, go ahead.
No, some of the shots are just insane. Where he's it, like, he's literally hanging the camera outside yeah, of the van, like on like, the ground. Dude, it's just fucking insane.
Or like when this Indian gets hurt at the beginning, yeah. it kind of like it looks brutal. And then to me, like the crash later when the
crash is the worst.
Yeah, crash is the worst.
See, that's worse until they both find.
Yeah,
yeah, no, exactly. Because I literally went back and watched this. I went back and rewatched this crash to be like. How are they fine after this?
Because
I
was
like, because he does speed it up to make you like, it makes it super intense when you see it. Because like, it spins like so
fast.
So harsh too. Because you're like, because like, you watch like, this guy must have been crushed underneath, like the way it spins. And they're like, oh, we're fine. Like, they're kind of just like, you know. But it's like, yeah, some of these crashes are brutal too.
Yeah, but I love like what kind of happens after that. Because like, after they're injured and then basically Pocket's taking that advantage to get the girl. Which that scene of him falling off the fence.
Honestly,
like, that
actually makes it kind of funny too. Because it's like all of that brutal scene
set
up for
just,
this.
Yeah, like, and just like the dialogue where they're like, he fell off a fence. I almost lost my leg. Like, I almost lost my... Hold on, let me find the quote.
You almost lost your leg. I dislocated my shoulder and he gets all the ice.
Yeah. And like, let's go have a warm drink. Yeah.
That's so good.
Oh my god, it's incredible.
The shot of Pockets in that scene is just...
Oh, he's like, he
else,
is, man. He's
something
heaven,
else. This is good. Whoever this... The Red Buttons...
His face is amazing.
Amazing actor. Just from this one movie.
I love how he's like, also just like, all of a sudden we learn he's like, actually like, he's like experimenting with like rockets and shit. It's like, it's so insane. Like,
and the reason why is just the most insane reason. It's just like...
it's okay.
Damn. We're gonna shoot a rocket, trap monkeys in a tree with a net. So it's like,
which honestly, that scene is honestly like...
It's insanity.
Like, okay, everything in this movie also is heightened the fact that they actually did it, too. It's like... Like, because, like, they actually had to, like, do this, like...
That rocket
thing
crazy.
Is, like...
Like, when, yeah, when we actually see... It's, like, so satisfying when...
Nah, yeah. And, like, they're, like, literally dressing up, like, they're, like, in, like, a... It's, like, low-budget sci-fi, the way, like, the stuff they're putting on and stuff. I think... Oh, my God. Like, I think...
John Wayne even says, like, oh, a man from Mars.
Yeah,
a man
from Mars. Not like, and also, I think one of them refers to him as like knights or whatever because, like, they're like sitting and they're like, let's go, Sir Arthur. I forgot, it's like Red Knight,
Sir Gawain, Red Knight, Black Knight,
yeah,
or Black Knight, Red Knight.
and then John's like, good night. I'm like, damn, where do I even go now? Like,
see, okay, that's why we're skipping too far ahead where I'm actually missing moments.
Okay,
there's like some stuff I wanted to mention in the beginning. Like, we see the Indian get hurt, we kind of skipped it. You know, we see the Frenchman is kind of hinted that he's going to help them later in the hospital. And kind of like, I think it's a little self-referential or one of them is like, does it have to be the Indian? You guys heard because like the doctor says that.
Well, he's not actually Indian though, too. The guy's
named the actor,
Indian.
Or?
No, the guy, yeah, the guy, he's not like.
That's his nickname.
He's white.
That's his nickname.
Yeah, it's his nickname.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was supposed to be playing an Indian in the.
No, I don't, I'm almost certain. No, either.
Are you
he
sure?
Was white. He was white.
Oh, he's white.
I know he's white. The actor is white for sure.
But his name's Little Wolf, too. So.
Damn. So,
I just thought that was his nickname. No, I just like... assumed that was his nickname because he doesn't. Is it look like the
Yeah,
part
his
of...
name is Little Wolf. Cast. Like,
yeah, I think that might be it, but I don't know, though.
No, in the movie, his name is Little Wolf.
No, but that could be a nickname for the character.
But they call him Indian, though.
I don't know.
He's definitely supposed to be an Indian person in it.
I
sure,
don't. 100%. Okay, there's no way.
Because they named him Little Wolf.
Like,
and they call him Indian.
It's Howard Hawks.
And then, because the doctor literally comes in and says, did it have to be the Indian? He literally says that because, and you think he's saying because, like, he's kind of being self referential, like, of course the Indian's the one that dies or gets hurt first, you know, kind of thing. But then he's like, oh, but it's because his O type, they don't have his blood type. And that's why the Frenchman becomes useful because he's the only one with their blood type, you know.
Okay, yeah.
He's kind of making that joke where he's like, "Oh, did it have to be the Indian?" And then he's like, "Oh, it's."
Honestly, I assumed he was white the whole time. But...
No, because he literally says the Indian. So
yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
And then Little Wolf that confirms it because if his name was like Bob or something, then. But well,
they're telling the story of it like his tribe at one point and how he got the baby Wolf. Like it's good. And how his parents didn't know like what he'd actually be because they named him Lil Wolf or whatever.
Okay,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I assumed he was white. I don't know why.
No. I mean, the actor's white. That's for sure.
No, because he even says something kind of a. I wasn't sure if he's trying to be racist. He's like, "What are you trying to do? Indian get a vacation after he gets hurt?" So he's definitely not saying that, like, his name is India. He's like, oh, like, what are you trying to do, India? But it seems like they like him, too.
Yeah, no, no, they like him.
So it's kind of this casual racism.
But basically, they hire the French guy.
No, but the reason I brought all that up was because the scene I liked was after they're driving home. They're like, they're all like super drunk. They must have been actually been drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all like singing on the way home.
Yeah, damn.
Because like they find out he's gonna be okay. So
no, honestly, when the whole scene of like John Wayne walking his bedroom, everyone else walking in is so funny. Yeah, like, especially like the pockets when he's like walks. He's like, what's John Wayne's name in this movie?
Sean.
I was like, hey, Sean, I want to talk to you. He's like talking to the French girl in bed. And then, he's like, and then like John Wayne just like taps him on the shoulder, like, yo, like, I'm over here.
Like you said, that'll come back.
Yeah, that comes back very much so. But yeah.
I mean, very much so in terms of like, it's kind of just like there at the very end.
It's a great ending.
It would have made perfect sense just to end with her like being found.
I don't know, like, I like it.
All right. It's a good little conclusion. Oh, yeah, the elephant walking in. Okay, oh, you're right.
Come on, bro.
Dude, there's like two little Boonwell moments in this.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
That animal just walking in a bedroom, obviously. Yeah. And then, like, that close-up of the one you said you wanted
to be. Oh, the ostrich? Okay.
There's a very similar shot in Phantom of Liberty, if you remember.
Yes, that. Okay, yeah. Ostrich in the room? Yes. The ostrich scene's one of my favorites.
Honestly.
Like, just the way they're, like, running.
Well, honestly, just some of my favorites of this whole movie are just the close-ups of the animals.
Dude, honestly.
Like, because, in a way, like, a lot of great movies have done this, where you can kind of just, like, just by cinematic, like, it's not even that complicated. Just, like, by simple, just close-ups of animals, you can make them look like they're looking at a person when even though they're not even close by, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So, like, you can make animals good actors like that with good camera techniques, and honestly, he does that a lot in those.
Oh, yeah. And, like, just the way the ostriches, like, run. Like, it's, like, crazy.
Oh, later on in the movie when they escape?
Yes.
They're huge, too.
Dude,
like, he emphasizes how big they are when they're, like, running around.
And honestly, it's, like, there's a few scenes, like, where the animals are, like, going wild. It's, like, it's so good.
Yeah,
like,
some in the middle.
Yeah, damn, I don't even know what to talk about next. Like, it's like...
Like, okay, so we did rhino, they do giraffes next.
Okay, the giraffes are insane. Yes. Like, how they run and stuff. Yes. And there's a great shot you had in your screenshots of, like, all of them, like holding, like, just kind of, like, having their arms around it, like, trying to, like, say it still.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like it's just, like, this, like, long giraffe.
The typical colonials in Africa, yep. You know, killing a giraffe. And
They're not killing it.
It's still sad.
It is.
I can believe it. Taking away this little guy from his mom, damn.
No, that's why, like, you can tell this is definitely a 60s movie, too, because, like, first of all, this would never be made a happy movie.
No,
like,
no,
that's another thing I probably mentioned earlier, where, like, it's holding me back from loving it, is this idea of, like, of course, like, the white people, when they come to Africa, they're the experts of, like, taking care of the animals and stuff, when most likely it's not really, like, the,
Yeah.
We do get, like, some scenes where African people are actually working in the background, but, like, that's kind of my whole point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah, that's a good point. But,
other than that, it's not a big deal.
It's not, like, it's not, like, ever in the forefront or anything. Or like, it's just, like, it's all just, like...
But it's kind of hinting at, like, she says that one scene where she's, like, adopting all these elephants, right?
Yeah.
Well, to me, he's actually... There's certain moments where I think he's trying to even make that point, maybe. Like, there's, like, that scene where she's, like, hiring all these elephants.
Yeah.
But then she's hiring African people to take care of them.
Yeah, well...
Like, she says, like, oh, I'm hiring an African boy to take care of it. But, like, we never see the African boy, really.
Yeah.
Or, like, there's another moment, it's my notes later, but, damn. Kind of forgot what I was mentioning. But I'll find it later, but it's kind of that theme of, like, oh, yeah, there's that theme of, like, the elephants are getting better treatment just by being around white people than, like, what they would just on their own, you know?
Do you think so?
Like, I don't know, you can kind of... Like, I get that feeling from it, you know, in certain scenes, but...
Okay. I didn't really feel that, but... I guess we... a moment around here is when they have, like, the sharpshooting contest. Because this is kind of, like, the beginning of, like, those two's rivalry, in a way.
Friendship.
Oh, yeah.
Love affair. No, I'm just gonna...
This is a scene I wanted to mention because I forgot the exact scene that I mentioned. It was like when the mom elephant comes and is like getting mad at her.
Okay, because
she's like kind of like another mom elephant now.
Yeah.
But this mom elephant literally has more kids than like the actual mom elephant does. So she's like worried that she's going to come and take her kid next.
Okay,
in that one scene, you know? Like, there's like that little moments like that where you're like, of course, like, these elephants are getting better treatment now just because there's, like, you know, outside influence, basically.
Either way, better treatment?
Like, these baby elephants are getting better treatment now than they would in the wild, like, on their own. Or even this mom elephant is getting on her own. Like,
I almost saw it as, like, just, like, learning to live with nature, honestly. That's kind of how I just kind of thought of it, but... Like, or, like, coexist with nature, maybe. Like, she's kind of having to learn to do that.
But the mom is, like, mad that, like, she's basically worried that her kid's gonna get stolen next. Because she has, like, this, this, like, photographer is basically, like, the best mom elephant now.
Yeah. I mean,
baby elephants just appear out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's also true. She's like, where is she getting these kids from? I mean, that, like, yeah, see, but that, like, you're not supposed to think about that stuff too much, but, like, I can see why. Because I was looking at some of the reviews, like, some people don't like this movie at all because of stuff like that, but... no, I still really like the movie. I'm just saying, there is some of that stuff.
No, I can see that,
I say, I wasn't sure if he's trying to say that in that scene. Feel like maybe in that same one moment, at least. I thought that.
I don't know. Hawks is more of, like, it definitely just feels like more he was just trying to, like...
But, like, I don't see how the one with, not oneness with nature, because there's definitely a conflict there. Like, that elephant is, like...
Well, it's, like, just, like, her gradual, like, kind of, like, easement into it. Because, like, literally, she's like, oh, we forgot about the scene with the cheetah. When she, like, is taking the bath and the cheetah walks in. Yeah, and, like, the whole thing with because, like, in the next, like, very next scene, it's, like, all of a sudden, like, the cheetah's, like, sitting beside her. Like, she's, like, coexisting with it.
Or, like, towards, like, the beginning, she's kind of, again,
like it's, like, yeah, but then she, like, kind of, like, I guess as she spends more time, like, with it, it's more apparent. But, I guess, hold on. It's just difficult. What should we talk about next? We can,
Just get the baby elephants.
Okay. I mean, well, when they first came across it, though, a good point.
I wasn't fully bought into this movie until the baby elephant showed up on screen, and I was like, okay, I get it now.
But like, because I love like how they're like, oh, we have to kill the baby elephant once you get, and then she's like, no, we're not gonna do that, and then they like, we have to go milk the baby. Then they're going to milk the baby goats. Oh, it's like so insane. Like, it's just like chaos ensues because like the baby goats like escape from where they're like and they're like trying to like track them down. It's just like chaos everywhere. And then like they like have to like tie them up really intricately to try and milk them. And like that doesn't work because it's like they're like still, but they eventually get it. It's like honestly insane.
I don't know how to make the baby elephant drink the milk. To be
like John Wayne's getting like his like face like. Blasted with like milk and shit. John Wayne has some great reaction shots in this movie.
No, he does.
His face is great.
Okay, here's a question. Do you like the love stories in these?
I actually do.
Like John Wayne's and the photographers. I mean, Hawks and hers, like, it doesn't really. It kind of hints at it, but then it kind of, like I said, it just leaves it for the second half.
I like it because, Blake mentioned earlier, like, They're like love kind of keeps on being broken up, but I also really like that scene where it's like the most drag scene in the movie, but like for like one of the characters when she's like crying and like John Wayne's like trying to like talk to her and he's like so confused at what she's saying.
She's like her accent.
She's
Italian, isn't she?
French. I think she's Italian.
No. Well, also, she just like wasn't really like making any sense too. She's like. Your fingers were like.
Wait, okay. Who has the better / worst Italian accent? Her or
she's French.
She's Italian.
No, she's definitely Italian. Sure, yeah.
No,
she's
Italian. It's literally like mentioned Italian... she's French in the movie.
Really?
I'm pretty sure they mentioned that she's Italian in the movie.
I'm almost. They say she's the Italian photographer.
Really? I thought
from Switzerland or something like that.
I assume she was French.
She's her in real life. She's Italian.
Okay.
Italian actress.
I honestly thought she was French the whole time. I'm not gonna lie.
No, but she does have an Italian accent.
Well, also, didn't know English before she
did this movie.
Yeah,
damn.
She like learned.
Okay, outside, see that makes sense.
But
she's
like,
definitely Italian that didn't know English until she did this movie. Because I can tell she. I just wasn't sure if she was from a different country but she was playing an Italian actress, so she had a bad Italian. Like I don't know. Like, I wasn't sure what was going on.
Honestly.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Baby elephant. I guess we can continue on, like, the baby elephant bath, because, like, honestly, just, like, the scene...
What about the hyena getting a bath, too?
Oh, the hyena.
Oh, my God.
That was crazy.
Honestly, like, Because wait, don't they like hunt hyenas too?
Or no. I don't know if we ever see them hunt it. We only see them get a bath.
Okay.
They do a zebras. They catch a
zebra. Yeah, zebras are insane. Like, zebras are fast. I didn't even know that. Like,
and they're horses.
Yeah, good point, actually. They also do, like, buffalo and everything. But
the buffalo one's crazy also.
Yeah.
Because,
basically anything with horns is just insane that they're actually doing this in this movie, so.
Honestly.
And then I was going to say, there's that one scene I thought I was going to get, like, really dark, where, you see, like, the aftermath of that elephant that had gone crazy. Okay, and then, yeah. So that other hunter they meet, or the other game warden, had to kill it or something.
Yeah.
And then the baby walks up, and you're like, they're like, okay, we all know what has to happen now, because the baby
comes alive. Oh, yeah. That's the one that, yeah, that's when he first.
Yeah. Like, oh, shit. And then she's like, no. She's the only one with heart and stuff.
But see that makes sense, though, because, like, of course, they're, like, they're so in the profession, it's almost like,
yes, exactly. Yeah.
While she's like, wait, hold on, she's like the human here, like, well, like the outside person here.
But to me, I guess.
Like, compared to them. And, like, that's, like, honestly very similar to Angel. Angels Have Wings. Wait, what were you saying?
I was like, she's the one with the heart.
They're,
like, too much in their job at this point.
Yeah, like, yeah, she's not as desensitized to it as they are. Which is something he also talks about. Only Angels Have Wings, like, because, like, Only Angels Have Wings is about, like, male carrier pilots in, like, South America, like, having to deliver stuff, like, in dangerous terrain, and it's like also stars who's the girl from? I can't remember her name. Girl from History's Made at Night.
Jean Arthur.
I can't remember her name at all, but. But also, there's also some, like, a great moment, too, which I love, is, like, before the monkey scene, when they're, like, because it's hinting at that he's, like, testing with rockets, because one of the guys, like, reading off the stuff that Pockets ordered for the thing, he's going down the list, he's like, oh, he's got all these wires and everything, and then, like, John Wayne's, like, confused, and then there's this gesture that he does, like, I think it's the German guy who's reading it. He, like, reaches his arm across and, like, hits him on the, like, thing. And he's like, wait for this. And then, like, reads off the rocket stuff about it. And they're, like, he's, like, confused. And then right after that, you get, like, the, like, explosion of, like exploding through the house, the rocket, when he's testing it.
Because, like, they haven't shown any of this rocket stuff throughout any
of it. No, it just, like, shows up all the time.
Because he's been, like, working on this plan.
Yeah, it's, like, I'm trying to think of...
We should talk about when they actually get the elephants, too. Like, when they actually decide to keep the elephant. It's, like, one of the best scenes.
Okay.
When they're, like, trying to take care of the baby elephants.
So. Okay, yeah. Like...
Like, it feels like the most kind of just, like, they were just filming to see what happened. Like, let's like, watch them actually try to take care of this baby elephant. Maybe.
Yes.
Like,
honestly.
Like, when the goats go free and stuff. And
yes,
the elephant's, like, freaking out because of it.
The goats going free is insane. Like, but also, the elephants to the watering hole scene, obviously.
Obviously, we just played the music.
Oh, the music, and that is so, like, and also just the fact that, like, it's, like, set up that something, like, bad is about to happen. Because she's going out alone. John Wayne's like, hold on, we gotta, like, go out there. And he's like, but, the shot of, like, the elephants taking the bath, and you see, like, John Wayne watching them, and he has, like, that smile on his face, just, like, at the rock, just, like, leaning on it, just, like, observing it. It's so good. Like,
I mean, how could you not smile on a scene like
dude,
that?
It's like, honestly, it's, like, because, I mean, Ross and Lee, like, had the shot of the elephants bathing in India.
Oh, yeah, true.
And it's, like, elephants bathing? What a sight, honestly.
Honestly.
It's so good.
Because I'm pretty sure there's, yeah, Ross and Lee's.
Yeah. Damn. But, all right, let me see.
Okay, one of the weirdest scenes in the movie is when they, like, make her the mother of elephants.
Okay, that's the scene I'm like, alright, we can kind of...
Oh, you're trying to skip over that, huh?
Yeah, you can't skip over that.
That's
the weirdest scene.
Oh, it's the most racist
scene. That's also what I was saying. It goes to that whole theme of, like, of course she comes and all of a sudden she's, like, the mother of the elephants.
Yeah.
Like, even though people have been living there for, like, thousands of years, but...
It's short, though. It's short.
No, but it comes back later. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, where that other elephant comes and literally sees her as, like, the mother of elephants, in a way.
I guess, yeah. But
see, that's why I'm like, I don't know if Hawks is, like, making fun of that, or...
Yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of just, like, more, like...
I skipped.
Maybe just for fun.
Yeah, that's kind of how I mostly see this
movie. Like a 60s American audience would appreciate it, so.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's appreciated. Little... Yeah.
Wait, you used to like it? I thought you said you were trying to...
No, I was saying the movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because it's like so random. Yeah, too. It is. I'm really like, random. What is going on? Like,
oh my god. It's like, yeah, and they use blackface.
You're trying to skip.
They do.
That's all I'm like. The favorite, like, this is where I'm like, there's stuff that holds me back, you know?
The thing is with Hawks, though, like, I think I taught this real problem. Like, even though there's scenes I don't love as much, like, his movie's just flowing away. It's like almost like you can, like, you almost like.
Well, Rio Bravo, I would say, is a way more. Like, that has way more of the coherence I was talking about. In terms of, like, even though it does feel more, like, plotless,
yeah,
it still has a coherent theme and, like, kind of, at least through line through it. Yeah. This one is, like, it does feel just more kind of, like, random.
Yeah, that's what I like about it, though.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, like, there's all types of movies you can like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and also, so the ending, the final poaching scene, when they're doing the rhino to end it off, do you remember when they initially try to do it, and then the rhino escapes? That actually happens on set. Like, the rhino actually fucking escaped. And, like, Hawks just kept it in. Just, like, to add, like, add to it.
Honestly, it fits.
And, like, basically, but, like...
Because they keep... It's like he's, like, keeps teasing. And they're like, all right, we're finally okay or something like that. Yeah, like, almost
the jinx is over.
Yeah, the jinx is over. That's what they keep saying, yeah.
Damn, it's, like, insane.
We also missed, like, well, I guess we only talked about the rocket scene, but, like, one of my favorite quotes...
What?
Where Pockets is like, I read books, vectors, trajectories, centripetal forces, and stuff like that.
Oh my god. That's, I mean, yeah. Dude, honestly, the monkey scene is so insane. Like,
honestly, it's such a satisfying shot watching that. Like,
honestly.
And then he kind of hits at this idea that's kind of funny, where like, Pocket spends all this time like setting up the event, but he's like too scared to watch, so he's like asking everyone else
about
how well it went.
Yeah,
and,
he's like
describe
the
event and stuff.
Damn,
because he was like too scared to watch it. You know?
Yeah, which, honestly, for this big of like a science thing, it's like honestly, how do you even think of this? Like, honestly, it was like it's honestly smart.
Though. He doesn't want to touch animals.
But
I wonder how much money they're making, because like it's at the very beginning of the movie where she's like. I'm a photographer or whatever, you don't have to help me or something. And he's like, yeah, we don't want you. And then she's like, well, this is what I can pay you or something from the zoo. And then he's like, all right, you're in.
So
I'm like, I wonder how much they're actually getting paid for these animals.
Yeah.
Well, for the monkeys, they said they had 500, that's like $6,000. So.
Total? $6,000?
Yeah. Which was a lot in the 60s. Right. So.
Yeah. So I bet your rhino is getting crazy, Mel.
Honestly. I mean, yeah, how dangerous they are, they better be.
They caught a leopard, too, which is insane. That leopard was stupid as hell, though. Jesus Christ. You fell for that?
It does make it more sad, like, you know those zoos in the 60s were not well-run.
Yeah.
It's sad.
They were
sad
going to their deaths.
But it also, I guess so. But, like, I don't know. I don't necessarily... Okay. Yeah,
there are stuff you have to ignore to some degree.
Yeah, but it's, like, it's more of, like, to me, I kind of view it almost as, like, I think Blake said, like, almost as, like, a document of this happening. Like,
no, yeah. Like, that's how I was viewing those scenes, because I didn't like watching those scenes, I'm not gonna lie. But from an archival footage standpoint, it was
like
at least
insane.
Interesting to watch.
It's, like, insane. Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely
it's, like, thrillingly shot, too.
Yes.
No, it is.
Well, we have them. I mean, the chase scene. Obviously,
last chase.
Yeah, the last chase.
They have to catch a human now.
Well, honestly, I just remember when I was watching this first time. I was like, I just thought they, because like they initially have it in the backseat of the car, or, like the car thing, the elephant. And they're like, elephant's like they're like using it as like a, almost like a like hot and cold detector. Like the elephant's like roaring when
it's
like
they're
a getting
dog.
Closer. And then like I just. No, when they let it out of the truck and they started running, I was like, oh shit, here we go.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
And I was like, it's so insane how long this goes too. It's like, literally, there's like, I'm just like so curious how they filmed this. Like, a lot.
Well,
like,
this goes to my theory is that animals are great actors. Because they're like fully bought in, I feel like.
Dude,
they have no idea what's going on, but at the same time, they fit perfectly. If you tell the animal to like run down a street, like they're going to do it with their whole heart, you know?
Yeah, it's like, my whole heart, at least.
But especially when all the other two come too.
Oh, it's like comes out of nowhere.
He keeps using that trumpet sound every time.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here comes the cavalry.
Yeah.
No, it definitely seems like he just held, like the elephants just wanted to have fun with his lady, you know? Like, yeah.
And I love when they finally catch her and she's like crying because of it. And like, the elephant's like wiping away her tears with the trunk.
Dude, that's what makes no sense to me. It's like, you just had three elephants chase you through a town and you're like crying.
Well, yeah,
you should be fucking like crying tears of joy.
Hey, they loved you so much.
Yeah, exactly. Are you serious?
I think, she's more like, she more is like kind of running away from her feelings, I guess. Like, it's kind of like
this. Stop. Don't do that. Don't act like there's serious emotions here. It's obvious.
Howard Hawks doesn't think so. Every serious emotion gets downplayed by a joke, so.
I wouldn't say
which
that.
Is good.
It's more because, like, them, yeah. I wouldn't say, because, like,
I think almost all of them
are. Because a lot of Hawks is, like, concealing what's not said, like, because he is very much, like, he has a lot of dialogue, but, like, a lot of his, like, a lot of the looks and stuff of his actors tell more a lot, like, a lot about it. And, they, I mean, they, I think there is a lot here, like certain mannerisms that, like, a lot of their faces have, I think, like, tell me a lot. I see a lot in it. And that goes with other Hawks movies, too. I talked about Rio Bravo, like,
Rio Bravo, I see it more like those, because that movie is definitely more about the characters' emotions with each other.
Yes,
like, to me, that's where I'm losing with you. This one is like, to me, it's not about that really. That's where I'm saying it's like, yeah. Where it feels a little more forced compared to the more kind of free nature, just like certain hangout moments or like literally the hunt, just the repetitive stuff, like going to hunt different animals. You know,
yeah.
There's something cool about that, even if like hunting animals isn't bad. But,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Especially with the weapons and just like, I don't know, being out in the wilderness.
Well, just the strategy
and,
of it.
Yeah, the strategy of it too.
Like,
yeah.
But I mean, also, I think we talked, like, when the final scene kind of like looping around to the scene when they like, because like she mentions like, Pockets comes in again. He's like doing the same thing, like, "Hi, Sean." Like, and then like, this time John Wayne just immediately kicks him out. He's like, "We're married now." And then like, and then just like the elephants bark.
Do we see them get married?
No, it is like he's like, yeah.
That's definitely a thrown in line because like the audience had to like for them to have the sleep together the last scene. There had to be like. No. At least the audience has to know they're married, or the censors anyway has to know they're married.
Yeah,
because
it's
like there's no. I was like, wait, when did they get married? Like, there's like no moment where they. It's like literally her crying like in that close up at the end of right where she's like, oh, like they caught me and stuff, and then it cuts to this.
Yeah, like I think it cuts to this.
So I'm like, when did they get married?
Well, I think it was
there's like a throw in line where he's like, yeah, we got married already. Don't worry, we're gonna sleep together.
Okay, but the elephant busts in.
Yeah, the elephant busts in. No, they did.
No,
that is a fair.
And also, the way it's like climbing onto the bed too is insane.
No, honestly, yeah. That's what I'm saying. The elephants, like, they seem like they know what's going on, honestly.
They have to. Like, it's insane. Did Brisson ever have any? Damn, he probably didn't have any elephants. Imagine what Brisson would do with elephants.
There is one scene, we kind of skipped over it, where it's like, it's honestly one of my favorite scenes in the movie, where like, that Don, like the doe. The doe gets like a, I think a thorn in its paw or something. It's like the baby deer. That's dope, right?
Oh, okay,
baby,
yeah.
And so, like, this is reminds me of, like, that moment in Balthazar where it's, like, where I was saying, like, animal close-ups can, like...
Yeah.
Like, be really powerful in some moments where, like, the doe is... They're, like, watching John Wayne take the thorn out of the doe and, like, he's cutting to all the other animals there just watching it, like,
cheering
it on in a way or,
honestly.
Like, kind of, like, in support. It's just a great little moment.
Yeah, honestly. But, yeah, is there anything else, though?
There definitely are undercurrents of emotion that are
no Hawks. That's what I was saying. Like the history of Hawks. Like he has he's very good with emotions. Like even if like it's not like super spelled off on screen.
Because like John Wayne's whole character is
like
is not wanting to get close to Dallas. What's her name? Dallas, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He will because he got he has an ex that like he got burned before basically. Like,
yeah. So like
no. He said there's a great line about the. You're like, I think it was Pog said, it was like, you're like a leper, person who got bit in the face by a leopard, and all they see around are spots on everyone, or something that. It's, so good.
But, like, that's definitely, like, a major part in the movie, for sure, because every time a new elephant comes in, it's like he's making concessions because he likes her, and Pog is just like, you want another one, or whatever, but I don't know, like, it doesn't really ever go anywhere, though, I guess, but...
That's why I'm like, the movie, maybe, it has, like... in a good way, it just goes to so many directions, so it really can't satisfyingly tie together all these different, like, that's why, like, it doesn't really do anything with the Pockets' other girl storyline at all.
I mean, the other two have the kind of conclusion of them, like...
No, I love their... Those two, that's my favorite story.
No, yeah, like...
What, John Wayne and Dallas?
No.
The French guy and the German guy.
Okay, okay. I just find, like, all the moments, like, just as satisfying as, like, having a conclusion, basically. But, yeah. That's Atari. Okay.
Forgot the Oscar scene, didn't you?
Oh, no, I talked about it. Because they look cool as hell. Like,
giant chickens.
Okay. I think I got why I confused, because I used the Wikipedia as, like, a outline for it. And they said, owned by French woman, the game company, but I thought that was the photographer.
Oh, damn.
But, yeah, that's why I thought she was French. But it's easily mixed up, though, but... But yeah, that's Atari, Howard Hawks. Next week, we are doing... we're doing FTF Rejects, right?
Yes.
Comeback, finally.
We have another...
Yeah, we kind of put it off way too long, honestly.
We did, because we're getting two bangers next week, so...
and this is the last week before
Boonwell, yes.
Okay, so that's going to be interesting. But the two movies we're picking are... Good Morning, directed by Yasujiro Ozu from the Ozu series, and then I Don't Want to Sleep Alone, directed by Simon Long from the Psy series. But
last Psy movie.
Is it
this the last one?
Okay, The Walker?
Well, we haven't done it. Yeah, we could definitely do Journey of the West. But,
Shortest Water Hover?
Yeah. But, yeah, with that being said, hope to see you next time. Hope to see you floating through the clouds.